Police departments throughout the country have been trying to take on a challenging demand, and that's to hold police accountable and improve their relationships with communities of color. A flood of departments have tried things like implicit bias training and community outreach. But our next guest says those efforts have largely been unsuccessful in weeding out racism among police officers. Jack Glazer is a social psychologist with UC Berkeley whose work focuses on police practices and implicit bias. And he joins us now to explain more on why those efforts haven't worked. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you, Tanya.
Your research from 2016 with other social scientists found that racial bias is deeply rooted within most police departments across the country. And really, efforts to retrain officers have been uneven and largely unsuccessful. How did you come to that conclusion?
Police officers, like everybody else, have implicit biases stored in their memories. In other words, they have associations between groups and traits, and one of which is the association between Black people and crime and weapons and violence. Those associations are stored in their memories, and they can cause them to regard somebody with more suspicion than they should because the person belongs to that group that is stereotyped that way. And as a result, because they are engaged in trying to assess who's involved in criminal activity all the time, they're particularly vulnerable to making the kinds of errors that these biases can cause.
Let's break that down a little bit more. I mean, because police bias against Black men in America is nothing new, but you actually argue that most officers are not like Derek Chauvin. They are the exception, not the norm. But back to what you were saying about making these split-second decisions based on these shortcuts in your brain, essentially, on what's good and what's bad. I mean, you found that when officers are put into a potentially violent situation, they often reacted in anger, as you're saying. Can you break that down on why that is a little bit more?
Well, I think it's clear that actually the primary motivation that officers experience in these use of force situations is fear. And fear or anger will cause the brain to function in a different way than you would in the absence of those emotions. And that means that the higher order functioning in the brain is going to be compromised, and you're going to be left with the more automatic processing and the more reflexive kind of responding that can give rise to aggressive responses or cognitive errors, like mistaking a cell phone for a gun, particularly if it's in the hand of somebody who you already have an automatic mental association between that person's race and weapons or crime or violence.
When you studied the protests over the summer in response to George Floyd's killing, you found that police officers reacted more violently against Black Lives Matter protesters than they have against armed right-wing groups. Many people also called out the somewhat passive response Capitol police officers took against Trump supporters at that insurrection back in January. So why, with all of the implicit bias training that we've been talking about over the last few years that many police departments have implemented, are officers still reacting more aggressively to people of color?
While the implicit bias training is well-intentioned and it's very widespread, the very nature of implicit bias is such that it's not something that you can intentionally control. It is inherently automatic and uncontrollable. And if you put somebody into a situation where they're distracted or fatigued or afraid or angry, it's going to be extremely difficult for them to be able to differentiate between the various cognitive influences on the judgments that they're making. We don't really know how at this point to, one, de-bias people, to remove their implicit biases because they're learned over many years and they're sort of designed to be resilient. And two, we don't even know how to teach people to employ strategies that will, in any lasting, long-term sort of way, help them to override the biases.
Is this the system change that many folks are talking about? Because it sounds really disheartening to hear that implicit bias training may not bring about the system changes that people are hoping for.
Yeah, I think that's right. Change needs to happen at the systemic level, and priorities of policing need to shift.
What about the calls to defund police? That includes reallocating funds away from policing and towards things like social services. Based on your research, could that help curb police violence better than some of these other measures?
I do think so. The idea that you would shift some funding from traditional law enforcement activities to other kinds of actors, particularly unarmed actors. There are ways to do that without eliminating police. The other side of that coin that I think people need to keep an eye on is that if all of the non-enforcement activities, if all of the non-crime fighting activities are taken away from police, there is the risk that there would be a psychological hardening of police where they are even more cynical than they currently are because everything they're doing is about fighting crime and about catching bad guys.
This is really just the beginning of this conversation. That's Jack Glaser, a social psychologist with UC Berkeley. Thank you so much for your time and parsing out your work for us.
Thank you, Tanya.